but Snow White. And that song is that it was going to start playing was the song, Someday My Prince Will Come. Remember the words, someday my prince will come, someday we'll meet again, and away to his castle we'll go to be happy forever, I know. Someday when spring is here, we'll find our love anew, and the birds will sing and wedding bells will ring. Someday when my dreams come true. It's a movie. She is hoping someday her prince will come, and as the story is written, her prince does come. And there's this happy ending. But she uses the words someday. Very optimistic. She's very hopeful that that will happen. Unfortunately, in real life, for us, someday is not a good word. We use the word someday kind of as a code word. If somebody asks you about something and you say, well, someday I'll do this, what we're really saying is, I'm never going to do this. Don't bother asking me about it again. It's not going to happen. Never going to happen. Someday is a code word for never. Someday is a code word for never. Think about it. Will you go fix this? Yeah, someday I'll get to taking care of that. Year or 2 years down the road, finally you have to call somebody and have somebody brought in to fix the problem. You need to go talk to this person. Yeah, someday I'll get around to talking to them. And then you never do. And then the relationship turns sour. Or you just try and sweep it under the rug and move on. We use the word to justify what we will do in front of others. But we're saying we're not going to take care of it. We never will. Unfortunately, in the church as a whole, that word someday has crept in. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about how someday has infiltrated the church and we have taken it on and things never happen. When really the word someday, we should treat it like a curse word. Never say it, never use it. Someday is not a good word. This week, we're going to look at how the word someday has hijacked evangelism. How the word someday has hijacked evangelism. See, what we've done is we've used the word someday to give us an excuse for when we go share with others about Jesus. Because we end up saying, yeah, someday I'll go do this, and then we don't. We don't share Jesus with others. It becomes an excuse. And this morning I want to look at three excuses. I mean, there are many more. There's tons of excuses we could use. But right now I'm going to talk about three excuses that we use with the word someday. And talk about how that's not scriptural at all. The first one I want to look at. Someday I will share Jesus, but right now I just don't want to hurt relationships. Someday I will share Jesus, but right now I just don't want to hurt relationships. We're afraid of rejection. Well, if I go and talk to them about Jesus, what are they going to think about me? What if they don't like me anymore or my family? Some people are paralyzed by this thought. They don't want to be disliked. They don't want to be marginalized. They don't want to be laughed at or openly mocked by friends. Some people are afraid they'll lose business because they share with others about Jesus. Other people are afraid that their kids will quit getting invited to the birthday parties and to all the things. So I can't do that right now. I don't want to hurt those relationships. What if people start looking at me funny because I talk about Jesus? What if my neighbors look at me awkward or say, oh, steer clear of him. He talks about Jesus. What if my friends think of me as some crazy cult person? I want to say, when we share the gospel, it's a given. Some people are going to find it offensive. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Some people, when we share Jesus, are going to look at us like we're idiots. But just because that's their opinion does not mean we hold off sharing the good news. Does not mean that at all. We have to remember that rejection will come as being a follower of Jesus. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20 says this: If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Jesus told us, as found in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Don't focus on the rejection. Then we start coming up with excuses. Use this time as an opportunity to grow. Maybe the last time you shared Jesus with somebody, you didn't think you did a great job with it. Okay, work on it. Work on how you share it. Work on how you deliver it. You can't get better if you don't do anything at all. Don't focus on the fear. You know, some people may reject you, but you know what? There's a lot of people who that's exactly what they're needing to hear right at that moment. Some people may not invite your kids or your grandkids over to birthday parties, or you get a chance to hang out and go watch the big game with friends and go do other things. It may happen. I'm not saying that it's always going to be perfect every time you go out and share the gospel. But which is more important? Somebody getting mad at you because you didn't share Jesus, or you not sharing Jesus? Them never hearing the gospel message. I'd rather somebody be mad at me, but I know I told them about Jesus and told them the consequences of eternity. Because we don't want to see people go to hell. Remember, we've shared it. When we talk about Jesus is the only way, we always focus on Jesus in heaven, but the other side is, if they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell for eternity. We don't want to see people go to hell. We want to share with them Jesus. But they have to make that choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 say, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Again, are we afraid of them not liking us, or them never hearing the gospel? Think about that for a second. Think about that. So the excuse of it hurting a relationship, it doesn't work. Second one. Someday I will share Jesus, but right now I just don't know enough about the Bible We're afraid of failure. What happens if somebody asks me a question about 2 Samuel 4:12? Anybody know what 2 Samuel 4:12 is? I don't. I just picked a random one off the top of my head. But people are afraid they're going to get popped with a question. I may not know the answer. And guess what? You may not know the answer. We may not know. We're not going to know the answer to everything. There's going to be a question. Somebody's going to ask us and we're going to go, that's a good question. But people are afraid, what if I mess up? We have to remember, we don't know all the answers. We don't have everything. And even if we were able to literally answer every single question, that's not going to save them. Just to be able to answer a question isn't going to save them. You know what saves them? Good news. The gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to all, and also to the Greek. All we can do is prepare the best we can to share Jesus. Some people are at different levels. There are some people who are scholars, and there are other people who doesn't have as much knowledge about the Bible, but they're growing and learning. You use what you have, and you share Jesus. Let God work through you. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. We're not going to be perfect, but we share with them the love of God and the grace that we've been shown. If we don't have the answer to a question, we say, that's a great question. Let me go find that answer for you. And then we better find that answer and go back to them and not put it off, because that says something about our character. Make sure we do that. We are not going to be perfect. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to be perfect. But we do our best. We do our best. Third one this morning. Someday I will share Jesus, but right now I'm going to share Jesus by the way that I am living. That should be living. I guess I messed up on that slide a little bit. By the way that I am living. It's so easy to fall into this trap. We will show Jesus by how we live. We will be nice, wonderful, pleasant people. And that's it. People even quote the popular phrase by St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. Here's a problem with that. It's quoted all the time. He never said it. He never said that phrase. It's recorded that he was out preaching the gospel 5 times a day. He was out speaking to people, preaching the gospel 5 times a day in towns and villages all around Italy. What he actually said is this. No brother should preach contrary to the form and regulations of the Holy Church, nor unless he has been permitted by his minister. All should preach by their deeds. In other words, make sure what you're saying matches how you're living. If that's what you're preaching, you better be living it. And let me ask, how do you share Jesus without words? The Apostle Paul asks this very same question, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We need to live godly lives by our actions. But we also cannot be afraid to tell people why we're living this way. It's not just sharing the gospel and not living this way, or living that way and not sharing the gospel. We are to do both. Live godly lives, share Jesus by mouth. There's three excuses. If we sit around here and talked for a while, we could probably come up with another 100. And that would just be in 20 or 30 minutes. Quick enough for us to write. We have let someday infiltrate the church, and we like to use the excuse of someday we will share Jesus. But we're not supposed to wait till someday. The point is, we're called to share Jesus now. We're called to share Jesus now. We don't put it off. You look at the early church. You look at what happened. They exploded. You read Acts 1, Acts 2. You see what's happening. At the end of Acts 2, we read in verses 46 and 47, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day, that was now for them. Every day it was a priority to share Jesus. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 9. He said, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed, and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. Paul is saying, I would rather myself be cut off than somebody else not go to heaven. Does that sound like a someday type of comment? Or does that sound like he's saying, I wish they would know Jesus now? That's not a put-off statement. The price is too high to give the excuse of someday. Lives are too important to give the excuse of someday. Paul was writing to the Romans again in Romans 13 when he said this, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The time is now. The time is now how God wants us to live. So what are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus was quite clear. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The time is now to evangelize, not someday. Now is the time, but we can't be timid. We got to be bold. I read a story this week about Winston Churchill, and I thought it was very interesting. Remember Winston Churchill? Very powerful leader. when things were piling up in his life, when all this stuff was going on with the war and everything, and he was getting more and more responsibilities, he decided to take up something to kind of relieve the stress. He took up painting. But he was having a problem with the painting. At first, it was hard for him to do it. Something was holding him back. And then he told of how a friend by the name of Hazel Lavery, herself a painter, had visited him. And while he was sitting there at his easel, she's like, "What's the problem? Why can't you paint?" The problem was he was too timid to paint. He was afraid he would mess up. He was afraid he wouldn't do it right. Now think, Winston Churchill was afraid he wasn't going to do it right. And she said this, "Painting, but what are you hesitating about? Let me have a brush, the big one. Splash into the turpentine, wallop into the blue and white, frantic flourish on the palette, clean no longer than several large, fierce strokes and slashes of blue on the absolutely cowering canvas. Anyone could see that it could not hit back. No evil fate avenged the jaunty violence." Churchill goes on to say that she helped him get through that. Churchill wrote, "The canvas grinned in helplessness before me. The spell was broken. The sickly inhibitions rolled away. I seized the largest brush and fell upon my victim with berserk fury. I have never felt in awe of a canvas since." Don't hesitate. Don't give an excuse. Don't be timid. God will help us share the gospel. He will give us the strength. The time to evangelize is now. The time we all need Jesus is now. Today we're going to offer a time of invitation. If you do not know Jesus, you need to know him now. You can come forward today, make him the Lord of your life, confess him as Lord and Savior, start repenting, changing of your ways, quit doing it your way and doing it God's way, and be baptized into him. Stop this old life, start a new one in God. You can do it today. Why don't you come forward and give your life over to him? We ask you to come forward as we sing this a song of invitation. Won't you all please rise?